वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 26 टेक्स्ट 26 Chapter entitled The Hellish Planets. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: if a foolish member of the twice born classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, forces his wife to drink his semen out of lusty desire to keep her under control, he is put after death into the hell known as Lala Baksha. There he is thrown into a flowing river of semen, which he is forced to drink. Purport: the practice of forcing one's wife to drink one's own semen is a black art practiced by extremely lusty persons. Those who practice this very abominable activity say that if a wife is forced to drink her husband's semen, she remains very faithful to him. Generally, only a low-class man engages in this black art. But if a man born in a higher class does so, after death he is put into the hell known as Lala Baksha. There he is immersed in the river known as Sukra Nadi and forced to drink semen. ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನ ತಿಮುರಂದಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಾಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಮೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ನಮ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ದೇವಾಮೃತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನೀತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮೋ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನೀತಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಸ್ತಾರಿಣಿ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶಿವಸದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ವಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪದುರ್ಭ್ಯಶ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಸೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್, ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಸ್ಪೆಷಲ್ ಗೆಸ್ಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಟೊರಾಂಟೋ, ರೂಪ ರಘುನಾಥ್ ಪ್ರಭು, ರೂಪ ನೂಗ ಪ್ರಭು, ಎಕ್ಸ್ಕ್ಯೂಸ್ ಮೀ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಗುಡ್ ವೈಫ್. And so we are honored to be able to speak on the subject Srimad Bhagavatam. So just reading this verse, it's really amazing how a living entity who was a gopa or a gopi, one of the eternal associates of Krishna, from the Krishna Loka, can actually fall so low, as we're reading in this translation and purport. How it's really amazing. Therefore, some people come to the conclusion that, you know, the soul could have not been with Krishna before. Because how could it fall so low if it was with Krishna at one stage? So they come to this conclusion like this, just based on this material calculation. And Arjuna was also amazed. In the third chapter of the Gita, he was asking Krishna, like, how is this possible that the living entities act like this? Why is he acting as if somebody is forcing him, somebody is twisting his arm to perform these activities? Same thing, Prahlad Maharaj, he was so amazed also. Prahlad Maharaj said, just, you know, a pleasure that feels just exactly like scratching a mosquito bite, like an itch. Just for this kind of pleasure, a living entity is willing to go to hell, is willing to suffer so much pain just for this activity. And Prahlad Maharaj said, I offer my respectful obeisances to your illusory energy, Krishna. I offer my obeisances to your Maya, covering potency. And Krishna also answered immediately to Arjuna, When Arjuna asked, why is it that he's acting like he's being forced, Krishna said immediately, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajo Guno Samudbhava Mahasano Mahapapma Vidhi Inamihe Vairino. Krishna said, it's lust only, O Arjuna. If the living entity, when it comes in contact with the mode of passion, then the pure living entity becomes contaminated. And he also says, Kama Rupena Kaunteya Dushparena Analena Cha. This lust, it's never satisfied and it burns like fire. So this is the answer Krishna gave Arjuna. Why is a living entity acting in this way? Because the pure living entity, when it comes in contact with the material energy, becomes contaminated. Prabhupada explains very beautifully that it's like a milk coming in contact with tamarind, and the milk has gone bad. The milk has gone bad. The pure living entity comes in contact with the material energy, then what do they call? DUI? Driving under the influence? You become like that. A very beautiful poem also spoken by Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says, Pisachi paile jana matti channa hoy, mayara grasta jivara sei seba budoy. The living entity, when it contacts the material energy, it becomes like ghostly haunted. We've seen in India, when you're ghostly haunted, he may be your close friend, boy, you ask his name, he will say like some girl's name. The ghost is speaking from within. And you ask his age, he's probably in his teens, he will say, I'm 50 years old. And the ghost is giving his identity from within. So this is like ghostly haunted existence, that the pure living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, comes in contact with matter and starts identifying with the material energy. Also there is a beautiful sloka Prabhupada all the time quoted, Krishna Boliya Jeev, Bhoga Vancha Kare, what is that? So the living entity, when it comes, wants to be the controller and enjoyer, he's handed over by Krishna to the police department, material energy, Durga. And then we act in a way that we think it's completely normal and acceptable, but according to Krishna and the saintly people, it's madness. Nunam pramatha kurute vikarmano yad indriya priti aprunoti, Rishabhdev said. In the name of happiness, we performing activities that are burying ourselves with unlimited karmic reactions. Krishna also says the same thing in the Gita, pravritim cha nivritim cha janana vidu asura jana. Napi na saucham napi cha charo na satyam. Krishna explains, those who are acting under the influence of the material nature, they don't know usually what's to be done, what's not to be done. Neither proper behavior or cleanliness, truthful, is found in them. And Prabhupada was giving an example when he was in India, when he used to own this medical shop. There was a butcher in the same street, and this butcher, one time Prabhupada saw, he cut the head of a chicken, and the chicken is running around without a head, like, you know, still a little bit energy left in the body. And the butcher was laughing like anything to see this. He thought it's like, you know, such a wonderful sight, you know, so cool to see a chicken running without the head. But the kid of the butcher, who was like 2 or 3 years old, he was crying to see such a, pet, like an innocent living entity, has to shed blood. So Prabhupada is saying, this person is thinking, is enjoying, but he doesn't realize what kind of activity he's performing in the name of happiness. Prabhupada said, even the intelligence that the child had, this grown-up man, he didn't have. This is not surprising, as we are discussing. This is what happens. And I have a friend who's like a psychotherapist. He actually told me what kind of cases he deals with, what kind of people he's counseling. And he told me he was counseling this one lady. She was completely like devastated because recently her own brother wore a mask and broke into her house and raped her. This is a true story. And this lady could figure out who it is, even though he's got a mask. You know, she's seen him all his life. But he was like so out of it that he was performing activity like that, and she was like ruined for life. Even last night I was talking to some students, and one girl was telling me how in her neighborhood, she lives in one of the poor sections of L.A., and it's so common that these 16-year-old boys, you know, they molest like 7 or 8-year-old kids, and it's like everybody knows about it. But they're saying, oh, we shouldn't take these boys to the police because it'll ruin their lives. They're feeling like some kind of moral value. You know, this is like, there's so many examples. We are so protected living in a devotee community, but as soon as you step out of Vatsyayika Avenue, there's so much going on. But this is not surprising. They're discussing about it 5,000 years ago, like Achyuta Prabhu pointed out the other day. It's just the same chewing the chewed. So therefore, Bhagavatam says, Tesham Pramatta Nidanam Pashyanapina Pashyati. We are so-called seeing. We are seeing. We are very proud of seeing. But we are not seeing. We are blind. Therefore, this blunt vision, this blunt seeing through this eyes made of flesh and blood, the acharyas and Krishna, they don't give much credit. They don't give much credit to this kind of vision, the way we look at the world with the material vision. It's useless. That's why one time Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was actually giving a class, a parikrama. And in the middle of the class, some of the devotees bowed down and they excused themselves. But Bhaktisiddhanta called them and said, where are you going? And they said, oh, it's time for darshan, that local temple is opening the door. He got so mad, he said, what will you see there? You know, you'll just go there and do eye exercise, you know, opening and closing the eyelids. But you'll just see some stone, some marble. If you don't hear from your guru, you know, what are you going to see? What's the use of your seeing? First, see through your ears, he was chastising them. Pashyanapina Pashyati, we are so-called seeing, but we are not seeing. One of my friends told me, when he was a medical student, they were operating these dead bodies to, what do they call them, post-mortem? To, you know, research something over a dead body. And this boy and girls, they're falling in love as they're doing it. The boy is looking at the girl and the girl is looking at the boy and they're feeling all like butterflies and they're feeling all like excited. But they don't see right in front of them just like few years. If you fast forward your body, like you're going to be there, operated. So what is the use of seeing? It's useless. And with this kind of vision, with this kind of ego, we think we are so special, we are so great. It's like one hippie told Prabhupada, I want to help people. Prabhupada said, what can you do? You don't even know how to take a shower. What are you going to do for people? How are you going to help people? Of course, Prabhupada didn't smash him out of ego, but he just pointed him out, who appointed you, you know? It's like a street dog in India. After dark, you know, they take over in charge of the street as if somebody appointed them. Nobody can come there, you know. Who appointed you? It's just false ego. But the Bhagavatam does recognize that the nature of the soul is Anandamayo Vyasat. The nature of the soul is that he is always looking for pleasure, eternally pleasure seeking. But the problem is, when we seek pleasure, when we are in the diseased condition, then we get into the hot waters. Our tail feathers get scorched, like they say in America. We get in trouble. Because we are in diseased condition, we don't know what's what, but the pleasure-seeking tendency is there. So we're trying our best to do activities that will bring us pleasure, but we don't realize the consequences. We are being infected. We're being diseased. Like this one devotee, he was actually taking initiation from Prabhupada. And he was so close to Prabhupada, and this devotee had an infection in his mouth. So he was just like gargling with salt water for like weeks. And then when he was about to take initiation, Prabhupada asked him, what are the four regs? And he answered, and Prabhupada said immediately, like, you're not brushing your teeth? And this devotee was like embarrassed that Prabhupada could point out these things. One minute he's like speaking about Rasalila, next minute he's telling somebody to brush their teeth. Prabhupada's so practical. So this devotee said, I have infection. Prabhupada said, oh, infection? Immediately picked out the Japamala and said, chant 16 rounds. And the next morning, this devotee was fanning, and Prabhupada began the class by, so, this material life is an infection. And this devotee felt like disappearing between the cracks, you know, Prabhupada can see through. So the only way out of this is to become Krishna conscious. There is actually no way around it. There's no way around it. Just like when Parikshit Maharaj was told about prayaschitta. When Parikshit Maharaj was told about like sinful activities and atonement. And Parikshit Maharaj immediately didn't take it seriously. He told Sukadeva Goswami that what's the use of this atonement? Everybody knows, you may have knowledge and you may be sorry for what you're doing, but it's useless. He said, Manye Kunjara Sauchavad. He said, just like an elephant takes bath very nicely, but then when he comes back on the land, he throws mud all over his body once again. So Parikshit Maharaj said, like, what is the use of this kind of atonement and being sorry? Everybody knows. A criminal knows if he steals, he's going to be punished. Still, he steals. Therefore, the real problem comes from the dirty heart. Sukadeva Goswami was very pleased to hear Parikshit Maharaj speak like this. The heart has to be cleansed. The soul needs spiritual satisfaction. The soul has to be given spiritual happiness. Just like this joke, you know, this one puppy dog, he was like spinning so fast trying to catch his own tail. And the mother was watching him with like so much love and happiness. And the puppy dog said to his mother, Mother, I read somewhere recently that the dog's happiness is in the tail. So why are you not like catching like me? You also come, join me. And the mom said, Child, I used to do like you, but then as I grew up, I realized the tail is already attached to me. I don't need to catch it. It's already in me. So I don't need to go around in circles and feel dizzy, lightheaded. So this is the message of the saintly people, that the happiness, real happiness, comes from within. Real happiness comes from ourselves, connecting our soul to Krishna. Then, once we become Krishna conscious, then we are not interested automatically. We don't care. Just like after a big feast, somebody comes around like serving popcorn or something, you know. Who cares? We don't want it. No, thank you, you know. It's not an artificial thing. You genuinely feel full. You don't want any more. So similarly, once we become Krishna conscious, it may be not a joke to become Krishna conscious, but at least if we apply the process of Krishna consciousness, then there is hope. There are so many examples given in the Vedas. Prabhupada quotes the example of Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya was a great king. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a description of what it means to be a king. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by the devotees, could you please give audience to King Prataparudra? He's such a nice person. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he may be a nice person, just because he's got this king attached to his name, he became disqualified. King means, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, it just means wine, woman and gambling. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I don't even see kings in dreams, what to speak of seeing them in person. So Yamunacharya was a king. And he was actually, you know, very, very busy in political affairs, and he had many wives, and, you know, he had other pleasures. Like Muchakunda said, when a sannyasi come, Muchakunda said, he is the real Maharaj. Because a king may be conquering in all directions, but he cannot even conquer his own senses when he goes in the inner chambers of the queens. He's begging for sense gratification. But a real Maharaj, real king is one who can conquer his senses. Therefore, they put the brahmanas when they come to the kingdom and worship their feet. So this is the position, but coming into contact, once again reviving, is Krishna consciousness. Yamunacharya sang this very famous sloka, you know. Yadavadi mama chitta Krishna padaravinde navanava rasadamne udayitum rantum asit tadavadi mukanari tadavadi vatanari sangame smaryamane mukavikari shishti nishtivanamcha. Anytime Yamunacharya thought about sense gratification, Prabhupada said he spite at the thought, spit at the thought. And this example of Bilva Mangal Thakur, Prabhupada gives often. Just, he was so addicted to this prostitute. Long story, but this prostitute told him, like, why don't you give all this enthusiasm you're giving me to serve Krishna? You will become pure devotee in no time. And he took to Krishna consciousness. And he was so disgusted with his senses pulling him in here and there, he was willing to pluck out his eyes just because they won't stop looking at opposite sex. What to speak of Haridas Thakur, like Omkar Prabhu was describing very nicely the other day. Maya Devi personally came. But he was like, he was told her, please wait, let me finish my rounds. But there was a small problem that Haridas Thakur never finished his rounds. It's like 192 rounds or something, how you're supposed to finish. So this is the, you know, this is the solution, is to apply Krishna consciousness to our lives. And then immediately, like, we are saved. What we're reading in these chapters about the hellish planets, it's by default, it's designed that way. If you're not Krishna conscious, by default, you end up in the hellish planets. It's not surprising. And this, what we're reading, is not it. This is just before they get put into a body of a worm in a stool or a pig, and you transmigrate, you have to become every kind of pig there is, every kind of dog, every breed of dog there is, every cow there is, lion, and then you come to human platform. And then if we don't have knowledge, again go back down, you know. Again, same old thing, going up and down. Therefore, we have to educate ourselves by reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Unless we read Srila Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada said, we will eat, sleep and fall down. Just like every letter Prabhupada writes, he almost like says it like a regulative principle, chant 16 rounds, 4 regulative principle and read my books carefully. Therefore, Maya cannot touch you. Many of our members, congregation members, many of our devotees, very hardly read, you know. Though never read Chaitanya Charitamrita or Nectar of Devotion. And, you know, many of our congregation members, they're very pious, giving rice and atta, but not pick up beads and chant, what to speak of, accept a spiritual master. This is a science, you know. We're supposed to go somewhere. We're supposed to make progress. Not like be confused with our baggage, whatever we know from the past, and then mix a little bit Krishna consciousness. That way we'll be here for like many lifetimes, you know. many lifetimes. Also, people read so many other books. So many Mayavad books out there. I was just talking to my mom yesterday during lunch. Even though like we come from a Sri Vaishnava background, most of our family, they're all contaminated with this Mayavad philosophy. Serving the poor and, you know, worshipping Sai Baba and this Ananda, that Ananda, reading all kinds of books. Ramanujacharya climbed the top of a temple and he was willing to go to hell to give the holy names. But all the followers of feeding the poor, feeding the poor and healing the sick, I don't know why they didn't get the simple message of what your Acharya was teaching. So this is the position. Without reading Prabhupada books, you can read so many other books, but the heart never changes. We'll be here lifetime after lifetime, doing some breathing and reading some books. It's useless. So it's very important, like we're reading in this chapter, it's a serious thing. It's not like if you like it or you don't like it. The Yamadutas have a lot of time to hear our philosophy if you don't like it, to hear from the devotees. So the point is that we should take guidance and we should apply the process of... It's very simple. Prabhupada said the human form is like a train. The soul is like the passenger, and hearing of the scriptures and chanting Hare Krishna are the two tracks. And by, you know, by doing this activity, the train can go to the destination. It's so simple. It's so simple. There was this... So otherwise, in the name of Hinduism, everything seems so complicated and complex. It's like this example of Subhudi Roy, given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Subhudi Roy was sprinkled some water from the water pot of a Muslim. And in those days, they were so strict that if even you come in contact with some Muslims, you're ostracized from the Hindu community. Subhudi Roy was running around everywhere like asking for help. What do I do now? What do I do now to become purified? One told him to drink hot lead, molten lead. And then he says, how am I supposed to do that? And he went to somebody else, they said, I'm not that cruel, I'll just ask you to drink smoking ghee. So, you know, basically they're saying, die, you know, you're finished. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and said, just chant Hare Krishna and serve the Vaishnavas. You will become more than a Brahmana. Very simple process. But it's up to us if we want to so-called escape the burden of chanting and reading Prabhupada books and swim in the oceans that's mentioned in the chapters. Or we could chant Hare Krishna and eat sandesh. It's up to us. The choice is up to us. Depending on us, how seriously we want to take it. Is there any comments or questions from the assembled Vaishnavas? Yes, Prema Sankirtan Prabhu.
I was just wondering, can you explain a little bit? You know, in the beginning of the moment, Srila Prabhupada, he starts preaching in India, but didn't succeed so much. But when he came on so many easy to come. So you just mentioned how, you know, pious Indians, it's very difficult for them to understand Vaishnavism. Can you explain a little bit why it's like that, and what's the way to preach more to people from Indian background?
Did everybody hear that? He's asking, Prabhupada was preaching to Indians, but he was not successful. So he's asking, like, what are the ways to preach to the pious Indians? It's like the pizza effect. In Italy, the pizza was supposed to be like some poor man's food. They bake some dough and throw some rotting vegetables and cheese and stick it in the oven, they eat it. But then when it went around the world, it became so famous that the Italians said, let's check out our own recipe, you know. Similarly, this Prabhupada was giving Krishna consciousness, but they were so attached to, we are so attached to, you know, following the West. It's like this one letter Vaninath forwarded me yesterday from an English lord. It's written in 1935 or something like that. He said he traveled from Kashmir to Kanyakumari in India. He said there was no beggar, there were nobody stealing anything, everything was so clean. So this lord, English lord, said, unless you destroy these people's, you know, knowledge of the Vedas, is no way you're going to control them. So, you know, and it's explained, even they were not able to do it immediately. The Muslims ruled India for 700 years, they couldn't change much. British ruled for 200 years, they couldn't change much. But the television did it in 30 years. So, we are so attracted to following the West. So Prabhupada said, let me go to America and preach to Americans and let Americans preach to Indians. He was so genius. Prabhupada was so genius. I was just giving the example of my godbrother. Multi-millionaire Bengali boy, grew up. He's like so rich and so opulent. But he had always attraction for this Buddhist teachings. Especially this form of Buddhism that's practiced in Korea. So he grew up trying to learn these Buddhist teachings, and then his heart was always after these teachings. And then when he came to New Zealand, he was walking around one cold night, and he saw this one girl, Korean girl, and he was so happy to meet a Korean girl in New Zealand. And he started speaking to her, and she told him that, you know, that I come from a Buddhist family, and he was so impressed. And then she takes out a Bhagavad Gita as it is from her book bag and gives it to him. Have you seen this before? And he had to sit down, he was so shocked. Because all his life he wanted to meet a Korean person, you know, who's practicing Buddhism, and then the first person meets, she calls herself a Bengali Vaishnavi, and he's from Calcutta. And she's been to Mayapur, and she tells him about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like he's never heard before. So he sat down, and he was like amazed, you know, how is that possible? What are you doing with the Gita? And she said, what are you not doing with the Gita? So he took home the book, he was so moved, and he read cover to cover. Such a scholarly person, he gives seminars now like anything on the Gita, workshops. So this is Prabhupada's techniques, preached to all the Koreans and Japanese and Americans. And then even when I met the devotees, you know, there was like one Kiwi devotee who was preaching Bhagavad Gita in and out. I was like, my mouth dropped, like, how do you know so much about these teachings? He said, this is universal teachings. It's for everyone. It's not just for Hindus. So I said, if he can learn so much, I'm so embarrassed. I should also learn something about Krishna. So, yeah, that's the answer. Mukunda Dutt Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you. Regarding the point about reading, there is one quote, Prabhupada also said that a person, devotee, should purposefully read his books, and sometimes that's very helpful, because if we read mechanically or think that we just have to go in some sort of a sequence, you know, rather than reading in such a, researching Prabhupada's books in such a manner as to root out our own anarthas, then that process loses some of its life. It's not so genuine sometimes.
Thank you, Prabhu. You're such a nice example of what you just said. Everybody is so inspired by your presence. Is that it? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.